Welcome to TalkToTara.com, home of profiles, where you'll find many more fascinating, relevant interviews with best-selling authors and your favorite celebrities. Intelligent talk for intelligent people. TalkToTara.com. Welcome to Profiles. I'm Tara. Today, my guest is Jan Merrill. She has written a book called Energy 101, The Key to Understanding Holistic Health. Jan Merrill is a holistic medical intuitive, a psychic consultant, and a hypnotist. Since beginning her career as an intuitive 15 years ago, she has assisted thousands of people in discovering and using the full potential of their own creative powers for personal growth and self-healing. Welcome to Profiles.
Hi, Tara.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You have the initials that follow your name, MFA. What do they stand for?
Well, I actually have a Master's of Fine Arts degree. It was my original life plan to be teaching painting and design classes at universities, and I have done some teaching. I taught here over at Ringling School for Art and Design and a little bit at FSU. And turned out the God had other plans for me.
Aha, apparently.
Well, it's in the same line. Teaching creativity in paint is a little bit different than teaching creativity in energy, but it's all about using our power of creativity.
You write in the preface of your book that, quote, information is power. I wrote this book to share the higher teachings of the spirit guides with anyone who is interested in obtaining this type of information. This is a bit intriguing. What do you mean by spirit guides? And did they actually help you write this whole book? Did they tell you what to write? Or what do you mean exactly?
We have with us invisible companions that are intelligent beings that do not reside in a physical body on the earth plane. Some people call them guardian angels. But everybody on the earth plane has with them these intelligent energies, whether they know it or not. What I am able to do is to connect with these intelligent beings, and when I do a reading, I connect with the client's spirit guides and receive information regarding our lives from these spirit guides. And they are there to help us stay on our spiritual path and for our knowledge and well-being.
Well, this book contains the invisible, unprovable truth. Why should people believe what you're saying?
Well, there's no way to prove it, and that's why I say it's unprovable. And it's very difficult for people who have never heard these spirit guides to believe it. However, the proof is in the pudding. And so when the spirit guides give information that proves to be true, the information becomes more and more believable. Now, for me, I noticed that the information was repeating over and over again for many different individuals, so that after a while, I realized that there was a whole new paradigm that I was receiving from many, many different guides over a period of time.
How do you know if they really are guides or if they're just voices in your heads? How can you tell the difference?
I had the same questions when I first began doing these readings, and what happened was over a period of time, the information proved to be true. When the guides would recommend something that would be helpful in a person's life and they would follow through, they would get back to me and tell me, thank you very much, it worked, what else do they have to say? And I would continue to receive positive feedback, and that's how I came to believe that these guides were very real.
When did you first become aware of your guides?
That's an excellent question. I think I became very aware of my guides very early on, but I did not have contact with them all the time. They would show up and then they would disappear and then they would show up and disappear, and they kind of played hide and seek with me for many, many years. In the mid-80s, however, my psychic doors blew open and they were there and have been there in a big way ever since.
Does that mean that you never feel alone? Do you feel like there's always somebody with you?
Exactly.
What is that like? Now, is that kind of a strange feeling at all, or does that feel normal to you now? Or what is that like, knowing that you aren't alone?
Actually, it's a wonderful feeling, but when I first was surrounded by guides and was aware of it, as I said, in the mid-80s, it was very frightening and very upsetting to me to know that somebody was listening to my thoughts. That is a very scary thought. But I've gotten used to knowing that they're there and what their purpose is, and they are not voyeurs. The guides are there to help us. And they really don't interfere with our lives or our free will unless we ask for help. And so I've learned now how to kind of turn off the inner radio in my head when I want to. And I only open it when I have questions or when people ask me to answer their questions for them from their guides.
Yeah, that was one thing I was wondering about. Do you ever feel like saying to them, hey, get out of my space or my face because I don't feel like being bothered at the moment?
I actually have done that, and I recommend doing that for people that are bothered. It's very important that we understand that the guides are not there to interfere with our lives and that we have total power over our lives. They're only there to assist us. And as a matter of fact, that's why most people don't know they're there, because they will not come in and interfere. And if you ask them to, they will be more likely to show up and let you know that they're there.
Why is it that some people are more aware of their guides than others? Like, some people are probably totally oblivious to the possibility.
Well, I think it's different for everybody. I know for me, I believe I was destined to do this work. I do believe it was my soul agreement before I came into this life, and so they showed up in a big way. But for many people, I think they can access their spirit guides because they want to, because they hear about it, they learn about it, they think, oh, what fun, how interesting, maybe there's somebody that can see my life from a higher perspective and can help me do that too. And so as soon as you ask or you become open to the idea that you want to communicate with them, they're more than happy to come in and do so.
So you are saying that most everybody has their own spirit guides and they're accessible if they just are open to gaining their information?
Yes, I think that with some people you need to make the effort to contact them, and that involves learning how to meditate, for instance. That's one way. Or asking them to show up in your dreams. There are many ways to contact your spirit guides. But for other people, just wanting them to show up, saying a little prayer, asking them to be there, and they will find a way to get through to you is the way to go.
What?
It's really a lot of what goes on the spirit levels is just a matter of us opening up and asking.
And I think that a lot of people might carry fear in regards to this area.
It is scary. I mean, especially at first when you think about the fact that you want to have your privacy and somebody's able to listen to you and see you and know what's going on in the depths of your soul. That's a very scary thought.
Now, isn't it true, though, too, if there's good spirit guides, that there are bad guides around, too, or bad spirits? What about that type of spirits?
Well,
or is that a whole other subject?
I deal with the spirit guides, which are our teachers. These are energies that tell me they have not been in bodies for thousands of years and that they are ascended masters, and then there is this hierarchy and they're there to help. So I don't deal with the lower spirits, but I can tell you my experience is that everything is vibration. Everything is the wiser the soul, the more advanced we are, the different vibrational patterns that we will carry. And so I think what you're talking about is a denser energy or a lower vibration. And the lower vibrations that I know of are the souls that are closer to the earth plane that do not want to grow and learn the higher teachings. And there are younger souls and older souls in terms of experience and how much knowledge a soul has gained. As far as evil spirits, I do believe there are spirits that carry a lot of fear, and that would be what I call dark energy. that block the light or the wisdom from coming in, but I don't know.
But you don't really deal so much.
No, in... I don't deal with those energies, and we all have the power to block that out by just acknowledging that we do not want them in our fields, and that's all it takes. So the power to get around in spirit, the power to control your own life and your own energy field lies within each individual, and it lies within their own will.
The name of your book, Energy 101, The Key to Understanding Holistic Health. Could you sum up in one sentence what the key is to holistic health?
Yes. The key to holistic health is understanding that we are all one. Now, I understand that you don't understand that in one sentence, but that's the key, is to understand mind, body, and spirit all work together, and we are all interconnected.
So does that mean if, let's say, my neighbor Sally down the road is ill with something, that means I'm going to get ill because she is, because we're all one?
No, but it does mean that your neighbor Sally might be reading something from your energy field, and in conversation with you, she might actually be delivering you an answer from your angels, or she might be serving as a mirror to reflect back to you. And we do this all the time with strangers. We reflect back the information that's carried on our energy field. In fact, that's part of the reason that's part of the way we can understand the oneness, is to understand that nothing happens by accident, everything has purpose, and everything that we see around us is merely a reflection of what's going on inside of us.
Uh-huh.
And souls read each other's energy fields. We're all in communion with each other. And that includes our children and our animals.
What does energy have to do with health exactly?
Well, we're all made up of vibrating energy, vibrating waves of energy. And that creates a magnetic energy field. And our bodies are just energy within the vibrational range that our five senses can perceive. So, and normally, naturally, energy flows to create health and happiness. That's positive energy. However, we do create negative energy blocks within our own magnetic fields that block the positive energy. And when the positive energy is blocked, then as a result, we will be experiencing either illness, disease, or unhappiness.
Now, why would we create energy blocks within ourselves?
We don't knowingly do it, but we do create negative energy by the mere fact that we're human and we're living human lives. We live in a dualistic world where we perceive positive and negative aspects of life. And when we have a negative experience or perception, emotion, or trauma that we don't process or balance with positive energy, it gets lodged on our magnetic fields and it stays there and attracts more negative energy to the person until it is cleared.
That's a very interesting concept or thought or reality in this instance, as far as what you write about in your book. I noticed that you talk about there's four different quadrants in a person's body that...
Well, that's the way it broke down for me. After years of doing these scans that the guides would show me, that's the paradigm that I was able to draw out to show people the patterns that were repeating over and over again in each individual reading.
And also, too, you talk about the eight different chakras and how that's important as far as where we hold in negative energy.
Yes.
Now, why do certain aches and pains always affect the same side of a person's body?
Well, if you look at the diagram in my book of the quadrants, you'll see that the right side of the energy field deals with the energy that has to do with the outside world, anything external to us. So we're processing external energy, which would be safety, security, money, career issues, even relationships, as well as males in our life. And that's what I call our own male energy or patriarchal energy. The left side of the energy field processes energy that deals with our inner world, our hopes, our dreams, our creative energy, our healing energy, and that's what I call our female energy. And so when we have issues in either of those areas, usually it will be because there is a block lodged on that side of the field.
How does somebody get rid of the block? Is that a difficult thing to do? Is it possible?
It is possible. It's very possible. And that's what life is, actually a process of clearing the energy field. And as the soul progresses, you clear the field more and more. The way we do it is that negative energy will attract negative people and events to us, and situations and circumstances that are negative to us. And so eventually, when we've experienced enough negative energy, something inside of us will click and say, hey, I've got to change. I mean, you've heard of it in terms of people hitting bottom.
Or sometimes people get ill, and it gives them a time to actually think and reflect on their life and maybe how it's not working for them.
Exactly, and they decide to make the changes. And that's the natural process of healing. But we can affect a more timely process of healing if we choose to do so. There are various methods that we can use to clear the field so that we don't have to go through the experience of watching this negative energy multiply.
And you've written too that most people do not have a clue about how to use energy to create health and happiness.
Well, you have to understand how you're creating unhappiness and illness before you can make the changes necessary to create happiness and health. You have to understand where you're creating the blocks. You have to own how you've done it. You have to want to change it and want to clear it in order to get to the other side.
Okay. Now, do you think this is just one avenue for people to clear up negative energy? Do you think if people didn't know about, spirit guides and blocked energy, that they would be able to clear up negative energy in another way?
I think we're doing it all the time. I think that's the process of life. But I think that's the slow way. And it's a miracle in itself that in this year that we live in, 2002, you're finding more and more professionals that are able to talk about energy and energy fields and energy healers and workers and people that are meditating and becoming aware of their own energy fields. And that, I believe, is a gift to all of us so that we can learn how to move a little more rapidly into health and happiness, and that we should just take advantage of it. But I don't believe we need it. I just think it'll move things along a little faster.
Also, too, you say that a majority of deep wounds that create these energy blocks are created or originate in childhood. But could these blocks happen at any time in someone's life?
These are karmic blocks. These are blocks that are held on an energy field lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But when we come in with blocks on the energy field, we then immediately attract circumstances to us in our early childhood. And those events are usually traumatic. Now understand that these blocks usually have a lesson connected with them of some sort. Okay, the lesson having to do with what negative energy to release and how to replace it. And for instance, let me give you an example of victim energy, because that's a lesson I see all the time, and that's energy that many souls bring with them into life, and then they become, in some way, victims in childhood. So can we become a victim any time in our lifetime? Sure.
Yeah, I remember reading about Vicky in your book, and it seems it's so easy when you're looking from the outside in to see how someone is maybe not thinking clearly or how they could be looking at a situation in a different light. But it's pretty amazing when one is actually in a situation or a circumstance in life, they just think, oh, it's the way that it is, and they can't see so much the bigger picture.
Yes. Yes, and Vicky is a personal friend of mine, as I say in the book. Obviously, her name's not Vicky. I named her Vicky for victim energy for the book. But As a matter of fact, because she is a personal friend, that was one example I really have a lot of follow-up on. And there was a lot more that happens with that incident with the fan. Maybe someday I'll write another book and be able to give you the continuum there.
Well, maybe if you could sum up a little about how we play victims in our own life as far as the way of looking at things or the energy that's involved in that.
Oh, sure. The victim lesson is a very prominent lesson on the earth plane. And what the victim lesson is supposed to teach us, the way we get to the other side, is to learn that life is not circumstantial, that we are the creators. When we own the fact that we have the power to create situations and circumstances in our lives with our thoughts and our beliefs, because we own the understanding that thoughts and beliefs are energy, and energy functions according to certain rules and laws, and if we understand how it works, we can create the right energy to get the desired effect. It really goes by the scientific method. Then when we understand that we have the power to create the kind of reality that we want, we're no longer holding victim energy. So we can't point at somebody and say, look what he did to me or look what she did to me. We have to say, now why did I create this? What was the purpose or what was my method? What were my thoughts, my beliefs, my experiences? How did I create this?
Yeah, maybe it's also taking responsibility for one's actions as opposed to trying to blame someone else.
It's looking at how you did it and then affirming that you now wish to change it and you have the power to change it. And when you are understanding your own power to create life the way you want it to be, then you release victim energy and you've learned that lesson. A lot of times victim energy will contain a lot of blame in there, and that will be hooked in with some forgiveness issues, too. And where, all of that is negative energy.
Where the person needs to forgive themselves or other people or both?
Usually both. If you're blaming somebody else, you usually have to go through the process of first releasing the blame for them and then understanding, again, if you want to give up all your victim energy, you have to understand that you attracted that situation or circumstance or person to you because of the energy that you held. My book is all about how we are magnetic beings. We attract and repel energy.
In a way, it's kind of exciting, though, to think that maybe we could just change our thoughts as far as things that happen in our lives instead of looking at maybe negative circumstances as, oh, this horrible thing that happened to me. We can look at it as it's something I've attracted for my growth, as long as we learn from it and not repeat it, I guess would be one way to see it.
And what is that growth? The growth, the bottom line of the growth is usually to understand that you needed to release that negative energy and you attracted the event or circumstance that you're unhappy with to you because there needs to be some kind of change. And so, again, when you own that the fact that you have the power to change something in your life, you release the victim energy.
You perform holistic energy field scans on people. What exactly are they?
A holistic scan is an intuitive process that I use where I ask the guides to show me a client's energy field, and I watch a horizontal bar go from the top of the head down to the feet. And as the bar goes down, areas within the energy field, which, by the way, just looks like an outline of the body on my inner screen, it looks like a radar or an X-ray of the body, but not the organs, just the energy field. I will see areas light up where there are clouds of dark energy, that's the negative energy, that's blocking the positive flow. And I will diagram that out for the client, and then when I get to the feet, I will begin to come back up, and as I come back up, I will project my energy into those blocks. And in that way, I'm able to read what those blocks are, what they represent, where they came from, and the guides will help by making suggestions as to how to clear those blocks.
Are you usually always right in these readings?
I get a lot of very, very positive feedback. As to whether I'm right or wrong, I suppose that that's not something that I invest my energy in because I'm just being hired to tell people what I can see and what the guides have to say. And, you know, that's really I don't have a personal agenda as to right or wrong or whether this is my ego.
Are there any times ever that you can't do a scan where you can't read anything or see anything?
You know, a person has the ability to block. If you don't want to have your energy field read, or if you don't want a psychic, you know, to retrieve any information, you have the right as a soul to not give permission. But most of the time, 99% of the time when people call me, they do want me to see what's on their energy field. And even every now and then, even though they say they want it consciously, maybe they're afraid and so fear will block it. So in that case, I usually ask them to just acknowledge to their guides that it's okay for me to see it.
What if someone is physically healthy but unhappy and depressed? Would a scan help them in that instance?
You know, energy field scans will read the blocks on your field, and the blocks on your field don't even have to be manifesting anything on the physical level at all. You might not have any aches or pains physically, but it might manifest in a pattern that repeats in your life that's making you unhappy. So, you know, we have so many people on so many mood-altering drugs right now that are probably just loaded down with some kind of negative energy on their energy field. Usually I find people that are deeply depressed have problems in the third chakra area, which is right in our solar plexus. And that's the area of our energy field that processes self-love and self-worth. And so there is a lot of energy that can be retrieved from the energy field to help in every aspect of our life, even if we're not suffering any problems to our health.
So do you think that if someone had a health scan from you and you helped them uncover some negative energy, maybe from childhood or wherever it came from, and they learn how to release it, do you think that would help them to maybe not have to take, let's say, if they were on antidepressants, maybe they would be able to stop taking those?
Negative energy has a way of causing severe depression. Severe negative energy will in some way cause a person to be depressed. It first may cause the whole life to disintegrate. It could cause breakdown in many areas of a person's life. But the result of that will usually be some form of frustration and depression. Yes, I do believe your energy field is the reason. It holds the answer to the cause of your emotional problems, as well as your health problems, as well as the circumstances and events of your life.
You have created a cassette tape called Cutting Cords, a guided meditation for karmic completion. How would this benefit somebody?
I created this because I found myself for many, many, many years describing to people how to cut their cords in a reading. The guides would just keep on bringing it up. After repeating myself over and over again, trying to explain to people how to do this, I finally thought, well, I'll make a tape, and this way people can just follow along in a guided meditation. And what these cords are in this particular tape, these are real phenomena that exists on the ethereal level, that they look like wires or ropes that connect two people together. And these cords on this tape are black cords. I'm referring to only the black cords. And the black cords that we see when we meditate are cords that hold negative energy. And so when we're able to cut these cords, we can release a lot of the negative energy that we're holding. Often people will say to me, why can't I forgive this person? I want to, I know it's bad for me, but I just can't seem to get myself to do this forgiveness work or to want to forgive. And often I am told by the guides to just tell them how to cut the cords, because when they release a lot of this negative energy, which looks like tar, by the way, in spirit, it's easier for them to get beyond the point where they're stuck, where they feel stuck.
And that's part of the whole clearing process and cleaning up process, wouldn't you say, as far as negative energy and everything that's related to it?
I call it a shortcut to clearing negative energy. But bear in mind, we have hundreds, maybe even thousands of cords. A person who's in their maybe 40s has 40 years of creating cords. Now, cords are set. their soul agreements that are set between two people when they decide to learn a lesson. And the black cords involve learning the lesson of just understanding how detrimental negative energy is to us.
So we don't necessarily need to cut all the cords, just the ones that are the black negative cords.
As a matter of fact, I don't think any cord would be shown to any individual by a guide unless it was meant to be cut. And I have only known one or two of my clients who have ever seen any of the other cords. The cords come in very many different colors. We have many soul agreements. And each color and shape represents a purpose to the cord. But the only ones that come up in meditations are the black cords.
Very interesting. It has been so great speaking with you, Jan. Now, you are available for psychic readings.
Yes, I
am. And you even do it internationally as long as somebody calls you, correct?
That's correct.
What is your phone number?
I can be reached at area code 941-926-0880. And that's in Florida.
Okay, and this is also if someone is interested in receiving a holistic energy field scan from you, they could call this number too. Let's see, if they go to your website, they could find all the information that they would need to know about your book, about you, your phone number, how to be in contact with you.
And they can order the cutting cords tape from my website store.
And also the book.
Well, the book, actually, my website will refer them to www.booklocker.com or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. That's where they need to go to buy the book.
Cool.
I don't sell it from my website store.
Jan Merrill, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Tara.
I was speaking with Jan Merrill, author of Energy 101, The Key to Understanding Holistic Health. I'm Tara. This is Profiles. Thank you for listening.